Thank you very much, Dave. It's good to be back with you this Sunday evening and to share on this subject of prayer. Last week we were looking at the Bible, the primary means by which God speaks to us, not the only means, but the primary means by which God speaks to us. When we think about prayer, we're looking at how we speak to God. And this talk is like the others that we've had recently based on the Alpha Course. This is basic Christian teaching, but there are times in all of our lives when it's good to go back to basics, isn't it? And to be reminded of the foundational truths of our faith. And an interesting thing, in pagan Britain today, 3 out of 4 people admit to praying at least once a week. Interesting, isn't it? 3 or 4 people surveyed admitted that they prayed at least once a week. Unbelieving Britons somehow pray. And people have experienced amazing answers to prayer. Here's a character that you may be familiar with, some of you, who experienced an amazing answer to prayer.
Bart, it's past your bedtime.
Okay. This is hopeless. Oh. Well, old timer, I guess this is the end of the road. I know I haven't always been a good kid, but if I have to go to school tomorrow, I'll fail the test and be held back. I just need one more day to study, Lord. I need your help.
Prayer, the last refuge of a scoundrel.
A teacher strike, a power failure, a blizzard, anything that'll cancel school tomorrow. I know it's asking a lot, but if anyone can do it, you can. Thanking you in advance, your pal, Bart Simpson.
Oh, there's a bit more than that. You stopped it halfway. Too quick on the button, Emily. So we watch it again, shall we?
Okay. This is hopeless.
Well, old timer, I guess this is the end of the road. I know I haven't always been a good kid, but if I have to go to school tomorrow, I'll fail the test and be held back. I just need one more day to study, Lord. I need your help.
Prayer, the last refuge of a scoundrel.
A teacher strike, a power failure, a blizzard, anything that'll cancel school tomorrow. I know it's asking a lot, but if anyone can do it, you can. Thanking you in advance, your pal, Bart Simpson.
Two grown men who can't get enough of each other.
And it looks like we've got some snow formation for all those flake lovers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Springfield Electric, gas and water plants are closed for the day.
Oh, now, don't forget the nuclear power plant, Bill. Let's close, dude.
Woohoo! All right!
Now, for all you youngsters, you toddlers, this is what you've been waiting for. Springfield County Schools are... I can't read it. I'm too excited.
Uh-oh. Springfield County Schools will be closed!
Yeah!
Take a break if your arms go numb.
Hey, I heard you last night, Bart. You prayed for this. Now your prayers have been answered. I'm no theologian. I don't know who or what God is exactly. All I know is he's a force more powerful than Mom and Dad put together, and you owe him big.
You're right. I asked for a miracle, and I got it. I got to study, man.
Prayer, the last refuge of a scoundrel. And it's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes God answers the prayers of scoundrels. But how often, when prayers are answered, do people forget the promises they made to God in those times of desperation? Like people in the war, God, if you get me out of this situation, if you spare my life, I'll go to church every Sunday and I'll follow you the rest of my days. And then their lives are spared and they forgot the promises that they made to God. We do sometimes experience amazing answers to prayer. But we don't always, like Bart Simpson, get the answers that we want. Heard of a man who was standing on a clifftop one day looking out to sea. Maybe it was Beachy Head, I don't know. And there was a sudden freak gust of wind that blew him over the cliff. And as he was hurtling down to certain death on the rocks below, he reached out his hand and he somehow managed to grab hold of a branch of a tree that was hanging precariously out of the cliff. And he's hanging on to this branch with both hands and he thinks to himself, now would be a good time to start praying. And he says, is there anybody there? God, if you're there, answer me. If somebody's there, please answer me. And a voice comes, yes, my son, this is God speaking. Let go of the branch. Is there anybody else up there? We don't always get the answers we want when we come to God in prayer. What is prayer? What is prayer? Well, it's simple, really. It's talking to God. Imagine that, talking to God. Talking to the creator of the universe. On August the 20th, 1977, Voyager 2 set off from Earth, traveling at 90,000 miles an hour on a journey to Neptune, 2,700 million miles away. A journey that would take 12 years. Voyager 2 is still out there somewhere because it then left our solar system and it will not come within one light year of any other star for 958,000 years. In our galaxy alone, there are 100,000 million stars. But our galaxy is one of 100,000 million galaxies. Scientists are now telling us that there are more stars than there are grains of sand on the seashore. Yet in a throwaway statement, Genesis simply records about God, he also made the stars as well. This is the mighty, majestic, all-powerful being that we pray to, the creator of the universe. Doesn't that make you want to pray a bit more? When you think of the being to whom you're speaking. He's our Father. He's our Father. Jesus called God Abba, the Aramaic word for daddy. He's the Lord of all glory, but to us, he's our Father, our daddy who loves and cares for us. We pray to him in Jesus' name. That's why we end prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a bit like this. Imagine I gave you a check tonight for £1 million and I put my name to it. Do you know how much that check will be worth? Nothing. Because I don't have £1 million in my bank account. But if I gave you a check tonight which was signed by Bill Gates, it would be worth £1 million and it would be worth you cashing it. Because he's got the credit in his account to back up a check like that and much more besides. And when we come to God in Jesus' name, it's as if we're presenting a check to him that's not signed with our name, but is signed with Jesus' name. We're saying, Heavenly Father, we haven't got any credit in our account. We've got no reserves to draw on, but Jesus has plenty. And we're coming to you in his name and we're asking you for Jesus' sake to answer this prayer. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. And the Holy Spirit helps us. You know, Romans chapter 8 says, we don't know how to pray for as we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself comes to help us. He pleads with God on our behalf in accordance with God's will. So when we're praying, the Trinity is involved. We pray to the Father with the help of the Spirit in Jesus' name. The whole of the Trinity presents himself, themselves, to us, for us to pray. Well, if that isn't reason for us to pray, I don't know what is. But let's try and answer that question a little bit more. Why should we pray? Some people say this, well, of course, God knows everything anyway. Why do we need to pray? He knows what we need. He knows all about us. What's the point of praying? Well, here's the reason we pray. It develops our relationship with God. There was a famous prayer warrior, a Christian, who was known for the power and effectiveness of his prayers. And someone asked him once, does God answer your prayers straight away every time? And this great prayer warrior said, no, of course he doesn't. He loves my company too much for that. And the point of prayer is not just to get quick answers like a Coke machine where you put your 50 pence in and you get your Coke out of the bottom and you walk away satisfied. Prayer is a means by which we grow in our relationship with God, and through that process we grow spiritually, we grow in maturity and understanding of God and his ways. This is why Jesus gives us this great example of getting up early in the morning and going to a solitary place to pray. Why does he do that? Because he's concerned about his relationship with his Heavenly Father, and he wants to spend time on his own with Dad. It's about relationship with God. That's why we pray. And prayer brings rewards, of course. Prayer brings rewards. Jesus said, when you pray and go to your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. Now, the reward may not necessarily be the specific answer to your prayer, but there always are rewards when you pray. A deepening experience of God's love and care for you. A sense of joy and peace, knowing that your life is hidden in the hollow of God's hands, and he understands what you're going through, and he already has the answer to the needs that you have in your life. A release from fear and anxiety. If you know that you have a Father in heaven who loves and cares for you, if you know that he's a God who delights to give good things to his children, what is there to be afraid of? What is there to be anxious about? These are some of the rewards that you get when you spend time with God in prayer. Not only that, but prayer gets results. Prayer gets results. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That's Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Let me give you a couple of examples from my own experience to tell you how wonderfully kind of mundane and down-to-earth answers to prayer can be, and also how incredibly profound they sometimes are. Some years ago, when I was in my first church in London, we were part of something called the Shaftesbury Society, which had mission centres all over the really deprived areas of London. And there was one mission centre that had kind of become surplus to requirements. The area around this mission centre had become a place of business offices, and no people living around there anymore. They'd all been moved out, and there were all these office blocks and so on. And there was this little mission centre in the middle of this place that really the Shaftesbury Society felt there's no more use for it. So they said to all of the pastors in the other missions, if there's anything that you want to go and get from these missions, just go along and take whatever you want. So always one for a free gift. I went along with my colleague, the pastor in my church, and we went to this place and we looked around, and I saw down in the basement this piano. This kind of school-type piano, really big upright piano. And my wife, as you know, as she's sung here, is quite musical, and she wanted to learn to play the piano. So I thought, good, we'll get the piano over, and she can learn on it. So we arranged to take a van over to this place on the other side of London, And Vic and I went down into the basement, and then we tried to move this piano up the stairs. And somehow, with a lot of effort, a lot of straining, a lot of sweat, a lot of pulled muscles, we eventually got this piano up the stairs and out onto the pavement. However, by this time, we were pretty exhausted, and we had a problem, which was how to get this piano into the van. And we felt a little bit like Laurel and Hardy at this point, a couple of simpletons, trying to get this piano into this van. And however hard we tried, however much effort we put into it, which wasn't much by this time because we were exhausted, we couldn't lift this piano high enough to put it in the back of the van. And I said to Vic, my friend, I don't know what we're going to do. I think maybe we should pray about it. So we leaned on the piano and we closed our eyes and we said, Lord, we've got to get this piano in this minibus thing, and we just haven't got the strength to do it. There's nobody around. We don't know what to do. Please help us. And we opened our eyes, and as we opened our eyes, we saw one of these coming round the corner. In the middle of London, in this office district, a forklift truck. And I stopped the guy driving it. I have no idea to this day where it come from or where he was going to. Maybe he was an angel, I don't know. But we said, hey, mister, could you help us? He said, sure, what is it? We've got to get this piano into this van and we can't do it. Could you help? Sure, no problem. And in 2 minutes, he lifted the piano up and slotted it into the van. Was it coincidence? Or does God answer prayer? What do you think? Yeah, I think so too. Here's another slightly more profound story of answered prayer. Some years ago, I took a team from New Life Church to Hong Kong. And we weren't staying in Hong Kong, but it was in the days when Hong Kong was still separate from China. And what we'd taken this team to Hong Kong for was to smuggle Bibles across the border into China. Now, that's another story. I'll tell you another time. But eventually, there was about a dozen of us of the team. It came time to go home to the UK. And we got on one of these, Boeing 747, with Cathay Pacific Airlines. When I tell you the story, you'll wonder whether you should ever fly with them. But anyway, we got on the plane and it took off from Hong Kong Airport, and it kind of lurched into the air. And it was full, you know, every seat was taken. And I took it because everyone going to Hong Kong buys far more than their tax-free allowance. And, you know, they're just loaded down with stuff that they've bought in Hong Kong. I took it that the plane was so overladen that it was having a bit of a struggle getting up into the air. Well, eventually we reached cruising speed and the cabin crew came around with their trolleys with all the food and stuff on. And as they were serving the drinks and so on, the trolleys just began to vibrate very slightly and the bottles began to click together. And then the overhead lockers began to shake. And then the seats began to shake. And then the whole plane began to shake. And at this point, I began to realize, especially as I looked at the expression on the cabin crew's faces, that something was wrong. And after a few moments, someone came down the gangway, someone with a kind of navy jacket on and gold braid on his sleeves, who I thought must be something important. And he looked out of one of the cabin portholes and then he scurried off again. And then there was an announcement from the pilot. This is your pilot speaking. You may have noticed a slight vibration. There is nothing to worry about. But just as a precaution, we're going to divert to Bangkok Airport. And it will be a perfectly normal landing, we hope. That didn't reassure us very much, but it did enhance our prayer lives. And I know there were a lot of people praying on that flight. Now, while this was going on, one of my friends in Worthing, a lady called Eve Armstrong, who's now gone to be with the Lord Jesus, she's part of the Lydia Prayer Fellowship, which you're familiar with in this church, I know. She was praying for us back in Worthing. She didn't know anything that was going on. But as she was praying, she felt God say to her, don't stop praying until they reach terra firma. And into her mind, and she didn't know what the verse said, came Deuteronomy 33, verse 26. And this is what this verse says. There is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides across the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. Suffice it to say, as I'm standing here, we did land safely in Bangkok Airport. And as those of us who were near where the man had looked out the window went off the plane, we just looked out ourselves. And we saw that there was a big chunk of the wing that was missing that you could see right through to the ground. And we think that might have had something to do with the fact that the plane was shaking itself to bits. Do you think God answers prayer? So do I. It may be a mundane thing like, Lord, how can I get this piano into this van? It could be, Lord, I really want to see my wife and children again. Please get me home safely to Blighty. God answers prayer. Now, of course, there is a big question here, isn't there? Why doesn't God always answer our prayers? Or at least, why doesn't he always answer in the way that we expect? Here are some possible reasons why I would suggest God doesn't always answer our prayers. Number one, unconfessed sin. The psalmist said, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have heard my prayers. Elsewhere, I think it's Isaiah 59 verse 1, if I remember rightly. God says, don't think that I'm too deaf to hear your prayers or too weak to answer. It's because of your sins that separate you from me when you pray. Sin is like a cloud, a dark cloud that blots out the sunshine of God's love when we're praying to him. You know, we have to deal with our sins at the cross. We've been singing about that this evening, haven't we? In order for the heavens to be open to us in prayer. Unforgiveness can do it as well. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, then your Father in heaven won't forgive you. If you don't forgive others, you're not in a position to receive forgiveness. And if you're not receiving God's forgiveness, you're not in a position to have your prayers heard. Then wrong motives. Wrong motives. James writes, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And when you do ask, you don't receive it because your motives are bad. You ask for things to use for your own pleasures. Please don't pray to win the lottery. It's not going to happen because that will be a curse and not a blessing. There are prayers that are sensible to ask to do with the will of God and glorifying God and being able to please him and honor and serve him. And there are other prayers which actually are pretty selfish. Doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for ourselves, but we need to pray in a way that is honoring to God and not with wrong motives. All right so far? Yeah? What answers can we expect when we pray? Well, it's a bit like traffic lights. Traffic lights, you get green, red, and amber. Green is God's yes. Red is God's no. Amber is God's wait. Sometimes God says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. So when the request is wrong, God says no. Ruth Graham, who was married to Billy Graham, once said, I would have married the wrong person several times if God had given me the answer to my prayers the first time I asked. But I know she was thankful that she got the person that God had for her to marry in Billy Graham. So when the request is wrong, God says no. When the timing is wrong, there's nothing wrong with the request, but it's not the time for it yet. God says slow. Slow down. Nothing wrong with the request, but this is not the moment. This is not the time. There's some stuff I need to do in you first. When we're wrong, when there's something wrong with our motive or our attitude, there's something that God needs to deal with in us, he says, grow. So when the request is wrong, God says no. When the timing's wrong, God says slow. When we're wrong, he says grow. Let this experience of waiting for an answer to prayer be an opportunity for you to grow spiritually, to grow up, to mature. But when the request is right, the timing is right, and we're right, God says go. The green light is there. We can safely proceed. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah? Shall we go on a little bit more? We're nearly there. How do I pray? Well, this is great because it's really simple. Anytime, any place, anyhow. I sometimes pray, well, I would say not sometimes, virtually always I pray riding my bike. I keep fit by going on a bike ride every morning, Monday to Friday, 7 o'clock in the morning, you'll find me riding around Worthing. And as I'm riding, I'm praying. One of the things I do is I pray for the Christians I know whose houses I pass as I cycle. God bless Keith and Jenny and Ernie and Margaret and Ian and Jane and the Vicar Gary at Faring Parish Church and his congregation and the Baptist pastor around the corner and so on. They're not great, long, kind of protracted, eloquent prayers. They're very simple prayers, and I do keep my eyes open when I'm praying. You can pray any time, any place. Jesus went to a lonely place to pray, didn't he? And many of us are living in the kind of circumstances where it's quite hard to find a lonely place. But there is one place when you're virtually guaranteed to be on your own. And every home has got one. Obviously, it's probably not a good idea to stay in there for 2 hours if there are other people in the household. But find a quiet place to pray. Pray when you're walking. Pray when you're going on the bus to work or driving in the car, wherever it may be. And anyhow, you don't have to pray eloquent prayers. Obviously, we need to be respectful and honoring to God. And not flippant or casual. But at the same time, we don't have to have degrees in theology and pray like the Archbishop of Canterbury to be heard by God. We can pray any time, any place, anyhow. How do you pray? What do you say? Well, here's a little pattern that I use sometimes. That I think is very helpful, particularly if you're just beginning in prayer, using three simple words that we use every day of our lives. Number one is sorry. We say sorry to somebody or other every day of our lives. Why don't we say sorry to God every day of our lives? Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Lord, I was thinking some really unworthy thoughts. Lord, there was something I needed to do and I never got round to it. For Jesus' sake, will you forgive me? Say sorry. That's a good part of prayer every day. Thank you. Got anything to thank God for? Well, you're breathing, aren't you? You're not sitting here naked, for which we're all thankful. You've got a home to go to. You've got food in the cupboard. Many of us have got jobs to go to, and if we haven't, we've got benefits that we can draw on, which many people around the world don't have. That's even before we get on to the kind of spiritual blessings, all the day-to-day material blessings that God showers us with. It would be a strange and very ungrateful person who couldn't find something to thank God for every day. And then the third word that we use every day, please. Please. There's a hymn that starts, "Thou art coming, to a king, large petitions with thee bring. Come to God with your requests. Don't be afraid to ask. And in the process of asking and going on asking, you know what they say, prayer doesn't change things, it changes us as well. That's simple, isn't it? We could all pray like that every day. Sorry, thank you, please. So we don't have to be great theologians to be people of prayer. And don't forget to listen either. Sometimes we're talking to God and talking to God and talking to God, and he's saying, could I say something? Because God speaks to us as well if we're quiet enough to listen. So it's good to spend some time when you're not talking to God, you're just sitting quietly in his presence, and you might be surprised at the thoughts he pops into your mind. Go and give somebody a gift. Write somebody a letter. Volunteer for a new form of service at the church. Go and tell one of the elders that you appreciate them and you're praying for them. I don't know what it might be, but spend time in quietness listening to God. Otherwise, our prayers become a bit like going to the doctor. We go to the doctor and we sit down and he says, yes, what can I do for you? And you say, well, I've got this burning pain here in my chest, and the pain's radiating down my shoulder and down my left arm, and my fingers are tingling, and I'm really worried that I'm having a heart attack. And I thought, I must go and see the doctor because you'll know what to do about it. Well, thanks very much for listening. It's really helped me a lot. Goodbye. That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? You want to hear what the doctor has to say and what treatment he prescribes. Sometimes we're like that with God. We talk to him about all our issues and problems, and we haven't the clue that God might actually want to say something to us about them. So wouldn't it be a good idea to spend a few minutes listening as well as talking? Two ears and one mouth. Perhaps that says something about the balance. And then finally, wouldn't it be a good thing to remember the prayer that Jesus taught? Here's a clip from the Jesus video based on Luke's gospel where Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer.
Teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks will receive. And he who seeks will find. And the door will be opened to anyone who knocks. Would any of you who are fathers give to your son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or a scorpion when he asks for an egg? As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more, then, will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I tell you this. Take no thought in your life for what you shall eat, nor for your body what you shall wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. Of how much more worth are you than the birds?
which of you, by being anxious, can add to the length of your life? You cannot do such a small thing. Why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like a single one of them. If God, who clothes the wild grass today, which tomorrow is thrown onto a fire, how much more sure is he to clothe you? Oh, you of little faith.
Make our faith greater.
If you had faith as big as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea, and it would obey you.
Jesus teaching on prayer. Remember the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. It's not a prayer to be repeated parrot fashion, just mindlessly. I've got a friend who's a well-known evangelist, and when he was a seeker, he had this feeling that he ought to be praying. And he thought, well, the only prayer I know is the Lord's Prayer, so I guess I'll pray that every day. But he got so bored with praying the Lord's Prayer every day that he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll pray it 7 times on Sunday, then I won't have to pray it the rest of the week. Because it was so boring to him, because he hadn't realized that when Jesus taught his disciples, he wasn't saying necessarily, pray using these words. He was saying, pray like this. These are the kinds of things that you should be praying about. So you could use the Lord's Prayer as a pattern for prayers. You could break it down into a phrase at a time for the 7 days of the week. So on Monday you could pray, Our Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you told us to pray, Our Father, not my Father. Thank you that I'm part of a family. And that you're the Heavenly Father of every person who believes and trusts in Jesus. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in the family of God at Holland Road. Pray for those people who are sick. Pray for those people who are having a hard time. That would easily occupy you for a few minutes on a Monday morning. Tuesday, hallowed be thy name. Lord, I want your name to be honoured. Are there places in the city of Brighton and Hove where your name is not being honoured at the moment? Can you think of any? And so on. So that's how I believe Jesus wanted us to use that prayer that he taught as a stimulus, a catalyst, a launch pad for prayer. So there are some thoughts about why and how do we pray. I wonder, do you have a daily prayer pattern at the moment? Why not start today, this week? Why not take part in that day of prayer and fasting on Thursday? Find during the week a quiet time and a place. Pray using your own words. Pray out loud. You know, sometimes it's easier to pray out loud with your eyes open than it is to pray silently with your eyes closed. Maybe use that pattern. Sorry, thank you, please. I want to encourage you this week to enliven and quicken your prayer life. Perhaps we could pause just for a moment to pray right now. Could we? I'd like to ask the musicians if they would come back and join me. And then just as we conclude our time together, let's do what we've been talking about and pray. And just as we're in an attitude of prayer together, I wanted to encourage some of you to make a response to what I've shared. As I was praying earlier this afternoon, I felt there were going to be three groups of people here today, amongst others, but three in particular that I felt God wanted me to mention. First of all, those who want to start a daily discipline of prayer, something that has not been part of your life. You've kind of thought about it from time to time, but you've never actually started a daily discipline of prayer. Then secondly, I thought there would be people here this evening who have neglected that daily discipline. You've done it in the past, but now it's become rather spasmodic, a bit hit and miss. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And most of the time, if you're honest, you're not spending any time with God in prayer right now. And then I felt there would be people also who've been afraid of praying out loud. And that's kind of crippled you in lots of ways in your walk with God. So you've tended to avoid prayer meetings because you know that you'll be expected to pray out loud. So going to a home group has always been a bit of an ordeal because you're not sure whether this particular evening you'll be expected to pray in front of other people. And I believe God wants to release you from that hindrance, to release you to be able to pray out loud in front of other people without fear or embarrassment, and get used to hearing the sound of your own voice and knowing that other people will add their amens to your prayers. So I felt particularly for those three groups of people who I sensed from the Holy Spirit will be here tonight, that it would be a good opportunity to say yes to God. Yes to God, I want to start a daily discipline of prayer, and I'm going to do it this week. To say yes to God, I'm going to pick up again those disciplines that I've let fall by the wayside. And Father, I want with your help to break this inhibition I have about praying out loud. So if that applies to any of you here today, while heads are bowed and this is just between you and God, I would like you just to raise your hand as a way of saying, God, I heard what you said to me tonight and I want to respond to you and be obedient. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you too. And God bless you. And God bless you. And you. And you. And you. And you. And you. Thank you. You can put your hands down now. Is there anybody else who also wanted to raise their hand to respond in that way? Thank you. God bless you. Father, I want to thank you for every person who's been honest enough with themselves and with you to say, Lord, there's some room for improvement here. And Lord, there's a sense in which we could all say that because we're all in the school of prayer. We've all got big L plates on. But I thank you for those who've said, Lord, I want to start a daily discipline of prayer. Or Lord, I want to get back to where I once was. Oh Lord, I'm going to break this thing of not being able to pray in front of other people. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and so work in each heart and each life that their aspiration and their intention will become a reality in this coming week. That some will do the thing they've never done before. That some will go back to disciplines that they've exercised in the past. And I pray for every one of us, Lord, every single one of us who knows and loves Jesus, without exception, that all of us will take a step forward in our prayer life in the days to come. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name, who said, ask and you will receive. So we're confident that we're praying according to the will of God and that our prayers have been heard and answered. Amen.